You're listening to the KB Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Cindy Stewart Podcast, a source for encouragement as you learn to discover God's dream for your life. With a passion to help you on your journey, here is your host, Cindy Stewart.
So this morning, we're going to talk about being positioned for advancement. And I love it when the Lord gives previews through testimonies and through the prophetic word of what I'm going to preach on. It makes it so much easier. So we've had a pre-sermon sermon because we are positioned for advancement. We are already positioned. And we're going to talk through that a little bit. But it's interesting to think about what Kathy's talking about to do the congressional thing. It's part of a nationwide flagging institute. I don't know the formal name of it. But in addition, they're doing 1 million women in Washington, D.C. in October. So they're doing that to bring prayer and the presence of God into Washington, D.C. And then you think about, you know, what Pastor Gene was talking about, the crusade that they're doing. And, you know, Ron Hart Bunke, when he moved back to America, he stood in, I think it was in Fort Myers or Naples, and said, "I'm here because America can be saved." And, you know, of course, he's gone to be with the Lord, and Daniel Kalinda has taken over a CFAN. And, I mean, they're committed to seeing the salvation of America. And if you think about seeing 1 million people saved in our region, amen and hallelujah. And last week I shared the two prophetic words, the prophetic word and the prophetic dream that Gene had, both about Tarpon being saved. So, you know, God is not short in letting us know what he's doing. He gives us every heads up we need in order to position us for the advancement of the kingdom that he's called us for. And, I am excited. I woke up excited this morning, even though the time changed. I have to say, I'm a proponent of the time change. I love it. So I would love it to be permanent. But, you know, last week we talked a little bit about what is coming. And this is just a continuation of the prophetic message God has to his people about what is coming, that we are prepared for advancement. And, you know, one of the things we talked about are these suddenlies that are occurring where people are getting advancement. We talked about Marquita got suddenly a promotion she didn't even apply for. Matt just shared a testimony about, you know, he sends someone, his wife on vacation, and she comes back with business. I mean, come on. That's what I'm saying. You know, we have to understand that God has positioned what is happening right now. And he's given us the business card in our hands. Yay. He's saying, grow, grow, grow. And gosh, that is so good. Lord, you are so good. So good. The word I'm going to share, the Lord gave me the part of it the beginning of this week, but he actually started the word last year in November 2023. And he gave me a scripture. It's Revelation 10:11. And does the Lord ever give you a scripture and you're like, okay, thanks. You know, I can do that, but you know, but the scripture is, and he's talking to John in Revelation here. It says, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings." And earlier in the week, actually Monday morning, the Lord started talking to me about it's time for the nations to come in. It's time for the nations to come in, that we need to begin to prophesy the nations into the kingdom, prophesy the nations into the kingdom. And this is what he told me. He said that he is turning the nations toward him. With the turning of the nations toward the Lord will come a united shift in resources and common purposes for the kingdom. So we have to understand, as God begins to position these nations to turn toward him, there will be a shift of purpose, common vision for the kingdom, and a shift of resources in order to further the kingdom. Yeah, that's good. I also saw the U.S. being the hub for these nations. And there were spokes going out the U.S. that were connected to the nations that, you know, as a will would move, we all moved as one. But the, and I'm going to say this, like every week I try to offend you at least on one thing. So last week, everybody said they weren't offended, so that was good. So this week I'm going to try again. But I saw that the presidential election will be a determinant of whether the Russia-Ukraine war ends and the Israel and the Hamas war ends. That will be determined by our presidential election. And when if the presidential election, and I'm just going to say this as gently as I can, shifts into a kingdom mindset, then it will end the wars in both these places. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But I will say one other thing. For us Floridians, our primary is in 2 weeks. Get out and vote. Amen. So we've got to vote. It is not, you know, now there's a big push. Oh, I'm going to say some things that are not planned. But there is a big push about Christian nationalists. And it's people who actually believe. I saw someone on CNN explaining to us what it was. It was people who are born again that believe the word is true. So that means you and you and you and you. Well, I don't know what. When I heard them give the definitions, they were interviewing Rob Reiner, who has a new movie called God. What the heck's the name of that movie? Anyhow. It is actually a warning to America about the born-again believers that are taking over the demonic forces that have tried to control our nation. And we are considered the enemy of the state, literally. So we need to understand that if there is a shift of God bringing the nations to him, then there's a rising up of God's people, because it is the people who make up nations. It's not the physical land. It's the hearts of the people that are transformed to bring the nations in. So understand that you may be called a Christian nationalist, but it's okay. Larry says it's okay. And if Larry says it's okay, then hallelujah. Larry has spoken and we will do. Huh? Gene's been called worse things, but we know that. We saw his hair Saturday morning. You know, a girl would never do that. If we're going to do it on social media, we're at least going to comb our hair, right? I taught him better, but he only got part of the lesson. No. But really, that it really is going to be that the election will shift one way or the other. And the Lord showed me that it's going to be very similar to the Carter-Reagan shift. When Carter left his presidency, the day that Reagan took office shifted the ability to get the Iran hostages out. And when the election occurs, it will shift the nations toward the Lord. And I'm sure that's way too much information for you guys. But really, we need to pray. We need to agree with God for what his plan is. I don't know what his plan is, but what I know is he's going to reveal it, because he's revealing it to us right now. So he's going to reveal his plan to us, and all we have to do is follow the plan. It's not a secret. We look toward God. Where is your light shining? Because that is where I know I need to step. Okay? So we're going to start with Isaiah 60. I'm going to read a little bit of that. We've got a lot of scripture to read. So just hang on and get your Bibles ready. Or Eddie and Kevin have the words up there. But Isaiah 60, the Lord said that to me this morning. Monday morning. He doesn't usually talk to me about my sermons for Sunday the day after my sermon, because he knows I might need a rest. But as soon as I woke up, he said, Isaiah 60, verse 1. And we know this scripture, But we need to know it in context of what is occurring. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We know that that glory is fulfilled through Jesus Christ, who said, the same glory that the Father gave to me in John 17, I have given to you. So we know that this is a fulfillment, not in fullness, but in partiality, that we carry the glory of the Lord. It rises upon us. We carry it within us, being born again of the Spirit. So it's there. So every morning we wake up to the rise and shine of the glory of the Lord. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, the deep darkness, the people. And we know that that's true too. We know that that's happening. But, I love the but the Lord will rise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. It's going to take the people of God to shine brightly in order to draw. Even Pastor Gene said, they want to come to the heat. They want to come to the fire. They want to come to what we're carrying. So people are coming. People are coming. I think Karen sent out a CEP about El Salvador just really turning over to the Lord and really declaring the Lord. And there was one other country, but I couldn't find it just recently. I love sign and wonders of what he's doing. It says, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. God is asking, he's inviting us to look up, to scan, to see where he's moving, to know that there is a deep darkness covering the earth, but I'm looking over the darkness for the move of God. And where the move of God is, I can step into it with the light that I carry, right? Then you will see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. You know that when there is a birthing of revival, when there's a suddenly of people turning their hearts to the Lord, what happens? Everything that they have shifts toward the kingdom. So we will see an economic shift. We will see the turning of wealth over to the kingdom. It's very exciting. My heart is pounding. And the wealth is not going to be limited to people who have wealth. We are people of wealth. Right? And verse 22. I hope I gave you that one. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. So that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the strength coming out of the tiny, and they're becoming the mighty. So as we talk about that, I want to talk about Gideon for a minute. We're going to go to Judges 7. I'm only going to talk about a little portion of Gideon. Actually, we're going to start in Judges 6:25, because I want to talk about what we're going to look for as God begins to open our eyes to see what he's doing. These are some of the signs that we're looking for. First of all, we're looking for, if you aren't part of Karen's CEP, you should sign up. You might not be connected to everything that she writes, but there's going to be signs that are showing up in there, and prayer things that we are to pray for in order to offset the enemy's plan so that the kingdom can advance at the pace it's supposed to. The word the Lord keeps showing me is out of Zechariah about the wall of fire being around Jerusalem. And I feel like God has put a wall of fire around us. And you know, in order to get to us, it has to cross through the fire of the Lord. And the enemy will burn at the fire of the Lord, right? We just can't agree with the enemy. We cannot agree with the enemy. When something happens, we can't say, oh, no, you know, I'm going to lose this. This is going to happen. I'll never get this. Because all that does is say, enemy, I've decided your plan's better than God's. When things happen to us, we have to say, we just cancel that assignment in Jesus' name. We're going to stand strong on what the word says. It may not look like it, but God looks different than what I can see, right? There's a real battle for our minds right now. There's a battle for our minds. The enemy wants those whispers that make us doubt that we are ever going to be able to accomplish or be used or do the things or get the desires of our heart that God has promised us, right? So the battlefield is really over our minds right now. Our minds, our family, all of that. Okay, sorry, Judges 6:25. I have a lot to say, so I'm trying to... has some level of systematic thing going with this. Okay, we understand the story of Gideon. You know, there Israel is under oppression because they sinned against God. And Gideon is hiding and God shows up and Gideon's like, I am nothing. I can't do nothing. I'm the smallest. I'm the weakest. I'm nothing. And God's like, well, I'm glad you were able to describe yourself to me, you know. And we do that with God. We're like, oh, God, we could never do that. Oh, God, you know, I don't know if I could have me a social media studio on my phone. You know, I mean, really, we think things are so tremendously overwhelming us when God is like, it's nothing to me. If you'll step, I'll step with you. So he goes through all of this, and this is the part that I think kind of, I don't think. This is the part that sets Gideon up for success. And it's verse 25. He's supposed to tear down the gods of Baal, and he does it at night. That's what I love. You know, sometimes when we do things in the secret, it prepares us for what God has for us in the open. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull and the second bull of 7 years old and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. So here he is. His father has this idol. And God's like, we're going to start in your house first. 26, and said, and build an altar to the Lord on top of this rock in the proper arrangement and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took apparently 10 men to do it from among his servants and did as the Lord said to him because he feared his father's household. It's interesting because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it in the day. He did it by night. You know, some kind, like I said, God lets us do it in the secret and have that victory in the secret before he puts us in the public. How many times have you just interceded night after night, day after day for something, and then you had that breakthrough and it gave you the courage to do what you were doing out in the front instead of in the secret? I love it that he did it at night. And fortunately, his father stood up for him. And we won't read through all of that. But when the men of the town came after him, his father stood up and said, no. This was the right thing to do. He started at his father's household. God is showing us how to clean the idols out of our house. He's showing us how to do that. And he's advancing us in the secret place. I know. You can tell my brain's like, and then Matthew 7 says that when you do it in secret, God will... roared you in public. So just know God is doing some amazing things. And then Judges 7, we're going to start in verse 2. So this is the other part of it. Advancement takes the right people. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to be on your advanced team. You know, I know Zach with CFAM was talking about how they have an advanced team that goes out and kind of sets everything up before the rest of the team comes. And you have to figure out who is your advanced team. Who's going with you? Verse 2, it says, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many to me to give to the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. It's interesting. God was protecting them from being boastful. He said, I can't give you where you'll feel confident in yourself. I've got to give you just enough so you have to be confident in me. Sometimes we if we can get enough people behind us, then we're like, oh, we can do anything. But God's like, okay, you're one person. Okay, the three of you, you know. Sometimes God whittles us down to the bare minimum so we can make sure that we understand that without God, we could not have accomplished any of this. I like big bulks of people. Lots of them. And then he begins to pick out who is right and who is wrong. It says, verse 3, it says, "Now therefore, proclaiming in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead." Now understand, if there's someone afraid, you don't want them with you. If they're fearful and afraid, then they're not ready for the advancement that God has given you. Fear will hold you back. Fear will attract the enemy. You know, there's a difference between a holy fear, God calling us, and we're a little bit nervous and trembling and all that, versus a fear that really paralyzes you. And if you've got people who are paralyzed with fear, they cannot advance. They've got to get their fear taken care of so that they can have their victories in the secret place to be able to move into their advancement. But we have to really peel those layers off and understand, God, who is to go with me? Who is for you? And who is to stay behind because they're not ready to come? The worst thing you can do is drag somebody along because you hate to leave them behind. And that is a hard lesson to learn. You want it for them. So they go on through the whole filtering of people. And then I love this part because God loves to, you know, to get them down to 300 people, right? Get rid of tens of thousands of people down to 300 people. And I love that God put Gideon in a place where I'm not sure, I don't want to say this quite, but it's not that Gideon had this long history with God, but he was just following God step by step by step until he got whittled down to 300. And with each one, I'm sure he's thinking, wow, you know, okay, God, what do you got there? And he goes through, gets rid of all but 300. And then in verse 7, oh, no, that's not where I want to go. I'm sorry. In verse 9, misread my notes. It says, so he gets down 300 people and it says, "It happened the same night that the Lord said to him, arise and go down against the camp, for I have delivered them into your hands." But he doesn't worry about Gideon's mindset because he says, if you're afraid, I've got a sign for you. I've got a confirmation for you. I've got something that will help you understand that I am with you. I verbally told you that you will have victory. Now I'm going to give you a sign that that victory is truly yours. You know, how many times have you heard God and you think, God, is that really you? God, are you sure that's you? And you ask five people, pray for me because I think that might have been God. And all five of them are like, oh, yes, it was God. So he goes, the Lord tells him, if you're afraid, I have a sign for you. So he goes up and let's just go in verse 12. It says, "Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as the locusts." The locusts are a lot. I mean, a whole lot. I think somewhere I did the math and it was like 120 or 320,000 people, a lot. "And their camel were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude." Can you imagine what that looked like? All you can see is the enemy and their camel and all their things that are here to hold you captive. "And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. And he said, I have a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered, said, there is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." the enemy actually confirmed the word of God over Gideon's life. We had a dream that we were going to be killed by the man of God who was nothing 3 months ago, and now he's the mightiest warrior in town. Now think about that. The enemy confirmed the victory, confirmed. And so all of his men go, and you know it says they go in victory, but there was a confirmation for the advancement. God will send you a confirmation for your advancement. And then at the end, verse 20, it says, then the three companies, you know, they had the pitcher, the trumpet, and the fire. Fire is a theme today. Then the three companies blew the trumpets, broke their pitchers, and they held their torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And then it's so funny, in verse 22, I'll just read the first part of that. It says, when the 300 blew their trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. Now, if you started reading Gideon Judges in the very beginning and started reading about Gideon and didn't know the whole story, you would be like, Gideon's crazy. What is he thinking? Going against with 300 men. But God had this whole plan in motion in order to turn Israel from their sin, raise up a small army, like we read in Isaiah 60, raise up a small army to destroy hundreds of thousands of men. And they didn't even use the first sword. The men turned against themselves. There's a supernatural victory out of obedience to what Gideon was told to do by the Lord. A supernatural victory. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see these movements of God that are going to shock us. Our brain cannot comprehend the glory of the Lord moving on the earth. Our spirit will have to interpret it so our mind can understand it. And there's one other part of the word that the Lord gave me, and it's out of Acts 12. And this is like, when I got it, I got a little bit scared. You know how you get the kind of like that holy feeling inside of you, feel like, oh, this is big, Lord. Acts 12, Peter's in prison. Herod has killed James. Peter's in prison. The angel of the Lord breaks Peter out. And what is so great about that story is, you know, Peter is bound in chains. He has two guards on either side. There's guards at the door, and the angel of the Lord sets him free like there wasn't a man in the room. That's what we have to look for. We have to look for the unexpected move of God. Even Peter didn't even know what was happening to it. He's like, I thought it was a vision, but here I am. I'm out. I'm free. That is what we're going to see. But in this part that I want to share with, and like I said, it is a holy word to really be praying into, is verse 20. It says, now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, having Blastus the king's personal aide, their friend. They asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. Set on the day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of God and not of man. Then immediately the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So understand, there is going to be, a move of God that will strike leaders that are taking his glory. And, like I said, I hesitate in saying that, but I know that that is what the Lord showed me. And I'm not saying that he's going to strike them dead on the spot. What I'm saying is he's going to strike to remove them from the place that they're at in order to allow people to see the glory of God in this, people will know that they have been removed by God's hand. In order to see the glory of God in this, in order to move a nation toward Him. So we really need to pray for the nations. Pray for God to move the heart of the nations toward Him as He's shown us. And really pray that those leaders that have set themselves up against God, that are under a demonic influence to kill, steal, and destroy, will either be saved or removed. I mean, we want the whole world saved. If they're in such bondage with the enemy that they're not willing to give that up, we want them removed. And God can remove however He chooses to remove. But I believe that we're going to see a tumbling of not only heads of nations, but we're also going to see a tumbling of heads of corporations. We're going to see a tumbling of heads of state. We're going to see a tumbling of heads of ministry. You know, we are, I mean, we're seeing it, but I believe that we're going to see an accelerated amount of turnover in order for God to turn over the hearts of people toward Him. And it will be clear that God has moved and He has done it. And it will make people rise up in awe in what He's doing. And that will be part of the shifting, because people will not be able to interpret it any other way than some superior being that is able to do that. And the only superior being that we serve, the only superior being in our hearts is God Himself, right? But I really believe that that's going to be a big thing for us, is we are going to see such an overturning of nations for God and an overturning of God's people that are ready to really serve with all their hearts. Even as we were singing that song, "Just Give Me Jesus," you know, I don't want anything else. I don't want anyone else. You are my one thing. That's what I feel like. There's a cry of the hearts for the one person that can transform not only ourselves, but a nation, a city, a region for God. So I believe that's what we're going to see. So I'm not going to go through. I have a whole bunch of other scriptures to read, but we're going to hold that thought. But I do want to mention Jehu out of 2 Kings. I'm not going to read all the ones I was going to read. Just go back and read 2 Kings 9 and read about Jehu. Oh, yeah. Because Jehu took out Jezebel out of a prophetic word that was given to Elijah back in 2 Kings, like it was around 20, but 1920 something in there. But Jehu actually stood against the demonic stronghold that had its feet in Israel in order to kill it, destroy it, and take it completely out, along with every tentacle that was attached to it. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see that level of authority coming out, rising out of the body of Christ in order to turn over and destroy the demonic strongholds that have set themselves up against God. So get ready. I mean, really, this is a getting ready. He's prepared us just as Gideon went from hiding to secretly destroying to outwardly rescuing Israel. Get ready for your things done in secret to be moved out in public that will bring a turning of hearts to the kingdom of God. And you're going to be like, "God, I've always wanted to do that. I didn't know I could, but it was amazing." There really is such momentum in this. So I'm going to read one last scripture as we go. And if you guys will stand for this, I'm just going to read this over us. And it's Isaiah 55:5. So just know that surely you shall call a nation you do not know. And nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. He has glorified you. So surely know that you will call a nation and they will run to you. And you may never go to that nation. It may be the people of that nation you meet at Publix. You may have a heart for Zambia, and you've got people that you meet from Zambia, and you begin to call their nation in. And that call in the atmosphere shifts. It goes across the waters. It goes across the continent. So it shifts the area that you're calling. I know Mariette is calling forth her home in Greece. I mean, she bought a place there, her and Larry, so they could go and call a nation. And she is determined that those islands will be saved, that they will go back to the Lord. Call a nation, and they will run to you. You can be a key part of the nations turning to the Lord out of this word. You can be a key part to that. Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Right. Right. And you are his workmanship. So, Father, just thank you that you've put nations in our heart, whether it's the U.S., whether it's Brazil, whether it's Greece, you know, God, Zambia, you've put nations in our heart, Peru, and we're calling forth those nations. We're calling forth the nations to turn to you. We're calling forth those who do not know you. We're prophesying that they will know you. We're prophesying that the heart of that nation will turn toward you, which will overturn any governmental official that does not know you. Lord, we're calling forth godly men and women. We're calling forth people to partner with us. God, we're calling forth that Gideon anointing to just take one step at a time. One step at a time to build our advancement team, to filter out all the who doesn't belong, to get that confirmation of yours and to go forth in even the weird and wild exploits that you have for us, Lord. So God, thank you that we call the nations forward and we call America. If we're going to be the hub, then we got to act like a godly nation. So Lord, we're asking for a shaking of our nation that the holiness will rise to the surface and all the darkness will be underneath our feet in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you are encouraged. If you would like more content like this, please visit cindy-stewart.com. We'll see you next time.